today. Each one of you knows that God is leading people, leads them on to the right track of life. He is leading men to take the next step into dark forces and satanic influence. So each and every person lives in a world of freedom. For the sake of a beautiful tomorrow, so that people may be bolder in their steps. The Spirit of God plans everything for men, and so that such a beautiful moment to come together with God is heard. Though you have never known Him, you have already been together with Him for a long, long
amen and amen. Well, guess what? Lisa, you're the only one here, so I'm still going to go with this because I kind of lost count how many times that this particular message was going to be preached here and it was put off. But, you know, looking back at the last recording, was dated really back 7 weeks ago compared to what we had on the internet. And to answer your question, where is everybody? Well, again, that's understandable because, like I said, for 7 weeks we've been out of commission. Many out doing their own little thing. They got out of the routine. Actually, you know, not being discouraged, but we really don't have that many members active here in this room anymore like it used to be. And so, you know, this is starting to become more and more of a thing on the wayside because many people now are chasing other rooms that has actually drama or activity or silly nonsense and everything else. So that seemed like to me that's what they're wanting. They're wanting that kind of nonsense. They don't want really good fellowship. They don't want things like this. So, you know, that's understandable. That's the world. But anyway, we're going through with this message because I'm not backing off from it because it looks like we're doing pretty good with the internet. Anyway, I did a little check and it's still running strong. So, you know, we think about a lot of things in our lives. And sometimes I wonder if some people actually think about God in a supernatural state. You know, I never hear, you know, in my conversations with a lot of Christians, you know, we talk about God, we talk about Jesus, we talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is in us. The Spirit is a spirit. God is spirit himself. But, you know, most of my conversations has never been about supernatural power, supernatural ways. Yet, it's real. It's there. The Bible talks about supernatural. They say God is supernatural. You know, so Jesus himself is supernatural. We see other angels, you know, around us. You know, they're here. We just don't recognize them because they're not revealing themselves to us. But they're in a supernatural state. So, you know, there is a lot of supernatural stuff going on. Yes, on the demonic side, there is too. But I'm focused more on this message as I preach back in July 24th at the church. You know, again, I was putting the question to the people, do you know that God is supernatural? And if you do, he often, and you think about it, you know, I thought about this a lot. You know God being supernatural, he often does intervene in our lives using supernatural means. Now we can ponder it. Your online listeners, if you listen to this sermon, ponder on this thought. God often intervenes in our lives using supernatural ways. There's things that I have encountered, gone through, you know, prayers, miracles, if you want to call it that, events that's taking place, you know, basically, look at many weeks back when I should have been in a head-on collision, you know, way that dude topped that hill in that truck and I was trying to swerve, but if I didn't move fast enough or he hadn't helped me move, then I probably wouldn't be here. So that was supernatural because, again, apparently his hand came between us and softened the blow of the impact. So, you know, there is supernatural ways that God does intervene in our lives. But there are times, and many people kind of wonder why he doesn't, but there are times that his interventions are usually limited to leading us, protecting us, or supplying our needs. Yes, folks, they are usually limited at times when those things happen. Seldom does God use supernatural signs, like a lot of times we wish he would. But seldom does he ever use supernatural signs like such as Gideon's fleece. We know that in Old Testaments. To direct us, to show us that, hey, he is here, he's real. He wants us to do this. You know, a lot of times I usually ask myself, God, can you just at least confirm this by giving me a sign? Sometimes he does, but he does it in a supernatural way. But sometimes we wish he would give us a supernatural sign, obviously, and making directions. You know, if we was to see those signs, it would be easier if God did send us lightning bolts or a sign of affirmation. It would be easy. You know, if we're seeking to do something, we're asking God, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? You know, what is it that I must do? Can you at least show me? And we wish that he would show up, bam. But a lot of times it doesn't work that way. But yet, there are supernatural ways he does work. And yet, for whatever reason, in all of our encounters with God and things that happen in our lives, God has chosen to limit himself by abstaining from this style of leading. Now, we wonder, why would he abstain from that style of leading? We look at a bunch of events in the Old Testament. He didn't abstain back then. Boy, he let you know that, you know, he was there. You know, a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, parting the Red Sea, raining manna down from heaven, sending plagues and whatnot and everything else. You know, you knew that was God. And when people will look for signs, they got signs such as Gideon. You know, he when the angels talked to him, Gideon, that look, hey, I need proof. I need a sign. Here, here's this fleece, you know, put it on the ground. Make sure the ground's wet, but not the fleece. And yet when God did it, Gideon was still not going to be, well, you know, I'll tell you what, next time, I'll tell you what, make the fleece wet, but not the ground. And God still did it. And finally, it convinced him, well, you know, long story short, that he knew that he was getting a sign from God. But see, today, God kind of does not do that, but I still believe that he does in a supernatural way. Now, all too often, misunderstandings do abound whenever we spot. All too often, misunderstandings abound when we start to speak of God's will for our lives. Whenever we are faced with difficult decisions regarding our future, we start to have some misunderstandings of what we think God is doing or what he's saying. You know, a lot of times, you know, when I had hard decisions to make about my future, you know, I was really asking God to help me understand, help me see this, help me whatever. And sometimes, you know, you would see those things, but a lot of times it was misunderstood because it was not God. Most times it was us. We were the ones trying to convince ourselves and not waiting for a sure sign, peace, or confirmation that this was coming from God. But sometimes whenever we are faced with difficult decisions in life on what to do, most times, more than we can care to count, the answer sometimes eludes us. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't hear it. Sometimes we don't sense it. You know, we want directions. We're wanting guidance. We're asking God to show us. We're asking God to tell us. You know, we need to make decisions, but we're asking God, okay, can you give me some kind of confirmation? This is you. But all too often, that eludes us, and we're wondering, God, are you helping me in this situation? So in those circumstances we face at those times, we often wonder, how can we determine God's leading and will for our lives? And I didn't see, that's how long we've been out of service, but our reading for tonight will be Psalms chapter 37, verses 23 to 24. I try to read it off the screen because my dear sister's going to post it for us because I didn't have my Bible read, so see, that's a little boo-boo on me. But anyway, let's read Psalms 37, 23 to 24, which says, "And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he may fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we ask of you to be with us a short little time as we gather to hear this message. Father, I ask of you, those who's listening online, and those who may show up here live, you know, just take this time and be quiet for a little bit and listen to what's being said and soak it in and you know, and say, you know what, God, I can relate to that because, you know, I've been too often confronted with that myself, and I always wonder. Those online listeners, if you're here and you're hearing this prayer, you know, take the time to listen to this message all the way through. Don't cut it off midway because, again, this might be something you need to hear, might be something you need. Father, thank you again for providing in a supernatural way or getting this internet issue straightened up. We had a few boo-boos at the start, but it seemed like it's starting to work out. And all we can keep doing is keep praying, keep asking. Lord, intervene supernaturally to keep this thing going, to keep the ministry going. I don't want to give it up, but if you want to close the doors, then that'll be in your court. But we're going to try anyway. So I ask you to bless those who are here, those who cannot make it here tonight for whatever reason it may be. Be with them. Let them know that you love them and you care for them and you're with them always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And y'all seen a bot message that I hadn't turned it off yet, so I got to do that when I get through with this. But the message tonight, the title is "The Lord's Leading." And we all know from all our studies, from all our conversations, from Bible studies to VBS to church goings and whatnot. We know that God has a perfect will for our lives. We all do. We understand that. But yet, my friends, no one has ever come close to fulfilling it. Do you get that? We all know that God has a perfect will for our lives, but none of us come close to ever fulfilling that will. We never will. One day we will when we see Him face to face in His glory. But while we're here on earth, we will never fulfill His will. We're striving to try to be in His will. We're shooting for that mark to be in His will. We're constantly seeking to be in His will. So in that process, we are always asking God to lead. And the majority of the problem that Christians do today, and this is where they make the mistakes, they themselves are the ones who's trying to take the lead. They are trying to lead themselves. They are trying to lead God, in fact. And that's where they're making mistakes, and that's where they're going wrong. Instead of just sitting back and trusting the supernatural God and say, okay, God, you know what? It's time for me to take my hands off the reins, and it's time for you to lead. You know, I think a lot of us will get out of trouble, especially in these chat rooms, especially in social gatherings, especially in church events, especially outside, especially in our families, if we were just to shut our mouths, stop with all our finger tapping, and just, you know what, okay, God, you know what, let's submit to your will, I'm going to submit to it, you lead, I stop. You see, folks, this is a lesson that I learned 3 years ago. All the years I've been involved in the chat room, yeah, I was doing other things. All the years of my ministry, I was doing the things what I wanted to do, what I thought was God's will, but it was not. Finally, I had to shut up, sit down, be quiet, and listen, and finally tell God, okay, God, you know what? Then let your will be done. Let's do it your way. And look what happened. Doors opened. But yet, that's why I said right now, anybody, I would tell them, you're barking up the wrong tree if you say, yeah, I know God's perfect will in my life. No, my friends, none of us does. None of us. We seek it. We're looking for it. We're striving to be like that. We're trying to be more like according to what He says in His word. Yeah, we are shooting for that mark. But we're not going to be perfect in meeting His will. One day in glory, we will. But see, every time that we sin, we are always taking one step further from what God desires in us. Now, we had a conversation at a Sunday night Bible study at another church we attend to, you know, because, you know, I pastor the church where I'm at now, and then we stay at the parsonage, we rest, you know, we get a little bite to eat, we crash on the sofa, and, you know, we do a little talking, but we do take ourselves a good hour, hour and a half power nap. And then we head to another church because, you know, they got a professor there. Well, I call him professor, but he used to teach seminary, you know, school, but he comes up with some real challenging Bible lessons, and he brings it. And I love the teachings, you know. And the brother said he's going to hook me up with a lot of his old lessons in the past. So, you know, I asked him if he would be kind enough to do so. He said he's going to print them all out for me. So, cool. But he made a comment, you know, last Sunday we was talking about, you know, we was talking about sin, you know, how it grieves the Holy Spirit, how it quenches the Holy Spirit if we keep on doing it. But he does have a good point because of the power in us. We should be almost sinless. Now you hear me? What I'm saying should be, not completely. Because if we say we are sinless, according to the word, we are a liar. We all sin, all of us, including me. But with the power of the Holy Spirit every day leading us in our lives, if we let Him lead us, and I mean submit to His authority, 100%, not 99.96%, not 99, not 96, not 95, not 93. I'm talking about if we was to submit to Him 100% and God lead me, we should be almost sinless. We can get out of trouble a lot if we was to do that. But although we can never be in God's perfect will, not yet anyway, like I said, but we can accomplish his practical will. Do you get this? We may not be in his perfect will, but we can accomplish his practical will. Glad you said that, Jim. Folks, I'm here this evening to tell you, do not let the fear of the future rob you of your freedom and put you into bondage. Don't let it do that. I know for a fact that many growing Christians struggle with making sure that they are completely in God's will. They struggle with this. They beat themselves up. They tear themselves down. They stress themselves out. And I always talk to a lot of them later, and I said, look, won't you just chill? Just chill, man. Come on. Quit stressing yourself out trying to be in his perfect will, because you will not. But apply his practical will to your life and learn to live the abundant life like Christ tells us to do. You see, but those who stress themselves out, those who are all frail, those who come apart and unglued and really whacked out because they are so focused on being positive at every major decision, because they're trying to be so focused on it and make sure, I'm making sure this is exactly lining up with God's perfect plan for my life. Folks, you're going to drive yourself bonkers trying to do that. Do this. Okay, God, let's do it your way. And leave it. And let him lead. But what happens to those folks who are getting so bonkers, they view God's will as a map with every decision planned out for them. I got to know A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I almost know the alphabet, but you get what I'm saying? They got to have a roadmap showing, okay, I need your map to outline your perfect will for my life. Without it, I'm not going to make no decisions. You see, those people who think that way, even if their footstep is misplaced, it's either they're in sin or they lost a great opportunity. You understand this? This struggle for perfection causes many great stress, agony, and bondage. They place themselves under bondage. Live free. Be happy. God gives us the freedom and the flexibility to live our lives for him. That's what free will is all about. He doesn't command you to do this, this. Yet the Bible is full of his commandments. The Bible does tells us how to live. But do not put yourself in that bondage by placing yourself under the law. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead. And you're going to find you're going to live a lot better life with less stress. I know. I've been there, done it. I'm learning it. Folks, he will direct our paths. We just have to trust him. I'm not going to name no names, but I'm trying to tell somebody that right now, and they just seem like they can't get it. Look, you know, do I worry a little bit? Hardly no more. I have concerns, yes. But I have decided to follow the Lord and let him lead and trust everything to him, even though sometimes I may not understand it. But as long as our hearts are tuned into God's desires. And here's the key now. If your heart is horizontally lined up with his desires, guess what? Your feet will follow him. You will follow his leading. See, when you look at it, really, my friends, movie actors themselves, you know, if you look at a lot of them, movie actors themselves are given scripts to follow. But they have great flexibility in how they follow them. The number of steps the actor takes to get from the couch to the door is insignificant. The number of breaths he takes or the exact movement of his arms and legs are seldom written in the script. Several actors may act out the same script, but each will perform it differently. Where I'm going with this. Listen, several actors may act out the same script, but each will perform it differently. Likewise, you and I, as Christians, my friends, God has a script or a plan for our lives, and many small decisions we make does not affect the fulfillment of God's will. Let me repeat this. God has a script or a plan for our lives, and the many small decisions we make do not affect our fulfillment of God's will. And although we may not know God's major plans for our life, we may not ever know, not while we're on this side of eternity, we won't know. We are, though, usually aware of many small things that God wants us to do. They may be small truths gleaned from the Bible, or wisdom obtained through common sense. You know what common sense really is, my friends? Common sense is really that little voice that says, you do not need to pray about buying a $35,000 Cadillac when you already know that you can barely afford a $5,000 used Chevrolet. You don't need God's leading on that. That's common sense. See, revealing His will directly through the Bible is not the only way that God discloses His will. It's not. He can also guide us through His Holy Spirit. And the fact is, my friends, if you are in tune and lined up with God in your heart, the closer we are in our walk with God, believe it or not, my friends, this is truth. I can swear to it. Well, I shouldn't swear, but believe it or not, the closer you are in your walk with God, the more sensitive we are to the Lord's desires. Do you understand this? The closer you are in the walk with God, the more sensitive you become to Him. You see, the reason why I'm saying this, you know, I'm speaking from my own personal experience in life. See, when I was growing up, my grandpa, I loved the man. He was every bit of 6'5", boy, I mean, real built. I mean, he could put John Wayne to shame. But he had a way of showing his approval or disapproval just with his eyes. I think some of you can understand this when hearing this. You see, I would often follow his leading just by looking at his eyes. Why I'm saying this? Well, look what Psalms chapter 32, verse 8 says. And I like this passage. And I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. See, folks, as we grow sensitive to God, we will also be led by His soft voice. How so? John chapter 10, 4b says this, and the sheep shall follow Him, for they know His voice. You get that, folks? The sheep shall follow Him, and they know His voice. Folks, I always pray that God will help me hear His soft, gentle voice so that He will never have to yell at me. You hear this? I always ask God, please help me hear Your small, gentle voice. So you will never have to yell at me. I don't think none of us wants to be yelled at by God. We would rather want to hear that small voice. Again, why I'm saying this, Psalms chapter 26, verse 3 says this. And this is the King James Version now, folks. You know, and we don't have the King James on this thing here neither, but thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Folks, although we should walk by faith and not by feelings, many Christians, they try to chase their feelings. That's what they're trying to rely on. They're trying to trust their feelings. They're trying to walk by feelings. Folks, although we should walk by faith, not by feelings, God still can direct us by giving us inner peace whenever we make correct decisions. You get this? And I say this a lot because I know we all deal with it, but a lot of times whenever I'm faced with difficult decisions or whenever I'm faced with difficulties or moves or doing this or doing that, whatever, man, look, I'm constantly seeking God. I'm constantly looking the Word. I'm constantly praying, and I'm constantly listening to that small, still voice and asking, God, is this what you want? See, I had a bad habit in the past. I used to convince my own mind that was God speaking, but it was only me, not no more. And if you ain't got peace about making decisions or doing something or saying something, most times or another, then don't. If you ain't got peace about saying something to someone or saying something in a chat room like this or to someone in your family or online or at the grocery stores or whatever, then don't. Because most likely it's not meant to be said or done. Trust in him and wait. Sometimes waiting may have to take a long time to wait. I'm 61 years old, friends, and I just now was made a pastor of a church after all these years of trying to do it my way. Because, again, I was not trying to sit still and listen. Once I did, he led. Because, again, my friends, a lack of inner peace may signify you are either not trusting the Lord or you're making the wrong decisions. You see that? If you don't have the peace about something, it's either because you're not trusting God or you're making the wrong decision. And yes, there are times in our lives when God's Spirit or the written Word does not seem to give any directions whenever we are seeking his leading. Some of these decisions in our lives may be life-altering. I mean, it may be enormous, life-changing, very crucial. And yet there are times whenever you are trying to seek him, you don't get nothing. So what do you do? And decisions I'm talking about could be such as buying a house, or which foreign country should I go to serve as a missionary. Not knowing which direction to go really can cause much stress and frustration. See, the thought of whenever we are faced with decisions and trying to make the right decision in order to try to trust his leading, the thought usually happens and pops into our minds, well, what if I make the wrong decision? You see, it's always lurking in the back of my mind. What if I make the wrong decision? Okay, so what? See, a fear of messing up in our lives is hindering our usefulness for God in this ever-present world. Quit being afraid. Seek him. Seek the peace. If you don't get it and you still have to make a decision in life, then make it. But make sure that you got peace about making a decision. Not out of haste, not out of anger, not out of spiteful words. I've done that a lot here in this chat. I said things I should have never said. Should have kept my mouth and zipped it. Or in other words, I got caught up in a lot of the drama. But I stopped all that nonsense. And I tried reaching out to former people, former friends that were involved in all this, and they're still acting the same way. They won't show no real forgiveness. I forgive you, brother, but yet they still act like they don't want to. They still throw up old things. Don't worry about messing up, folks. Don't let it hinder you. Because sometimes some decisions require a decision long before we even have clear direction. Sometimes we got to make them. That's what free will is all about. But I do have to say this, that this lack of spiritual guidance seems to me, and this is just me, but this lack of spiritual guidance seems to leave our faith or fate up to chance. Sometimes we may think that, but I seem like it's just up to chance. In these times of uncertainties, we can still be assured God's will is going to prevail no matter what. Because if we make a decision and it's not the right decision, God's will prevail. He's going to let us know. Or it's not going to work out. A lot of times now when people come to me, Pastor Jim, I need to ask you a question. What do you think I should do? Should I go into the ministry? Should I go into being a Sunday school teacher? Should I do this or should I do that? And I always tell them, I'm not the one to tell you what to do. That's between you and God. And if you can't get a definitive answer, always make sure, if you do make a decision to do so, if God is not in it, then it's usually not going to work out. But if God is in it, it'll work out for the greater good. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. If you ever have or done so, I think you may understand what I'm fixing to say. If you have committed a situation to God and are moving in the wrong direction, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, if you have committed a situation to God and you're moving in the wrong direction, God will close doors and force you to turn into the right direction. See, God can close doors that man cannot close, and God can open doors that man cannot open. So if you committed a situation to God and it's going in the wrong direction, then God is forcing you to go into the right direction. You need to step back and evaluate, okay, well, this does not seem to be working out. Then what? But make the decision. Do it. We need not be pressured by a fear of making wrong decisions. Do you get this? Online listeners, do you hear this? Do not be under fear or bondage by making wrong decisions. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, okay? Don't stress yourself. Don't try to beat yourself down saying, well, I got to have proof that this is God's perfect will. Because like I said earlier, sometimes God will not allow that because he's just going to step back and let you make the decision. If you and I would ask God for his guidance, look, if you ask him for his guidance, God, can you show me what to do? See, that's the prayer I started praying before this church accepted me. God, what is it you want me to do? And where is it you want me to go? You see, I was so focused on trying to get a pastoral position here in town, so convenient to my house. And I kept praying that prayer basically for a year and a half straight. And look where he led me. Almost 80 miles away. You see, he will open and close doors to ensure his will is being fulfilled. Again, we can go back to our reading scriptures, Psalms 37, verse 23. It's plain as day right there. And the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Wow. Listen to those words again. Listen to them carefully. Read them. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. If we continually commit our future to God, he will guide and direct our steps. And yes, there are occasions where time is running out and we are forced to make a major decision without knowing God's will. Yes, there are times that happens. We have to make decisions. I have seen many Christians struggling. Well, Jim, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know how to make it. I don't know if I should do it. You see, again, you know, you're not supposed to be all stressed out. Okay, look, yes, there are times that you got to make a decision. Then make it. But like I said, if we have committed the situation to God, then we do not need to worry about making the wrong decisions or messing up in our lives. Okay. If it didn't work out, cool. Didn't work out. I'm not going to fret over it. Apparently it was not the right decision. All right, move on. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. If you ever want some good godly wisdom, there it is right there, my friends. Look what it says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Woo! Brothers and sisters, when you have fully committed a situation to God, he will take the initiative to fulfill his will in your life. Hey, there we go. You get this? Please understand me. Online listeners, please listen to this. If you fully committed the situation to God, he will take the initiative to fulfill his will in your life. Fully committing a situation to God does not ensure that you will know the solution. Nope, you won't. It's just promise God will lead you one way or the other. You may not be consciously aware of his leading. You may not. Just know that God is leading. Just know that. So the next time that you are faced with a decision, commit it to God. Can't go wrong. He may give you the wisdom to make the right choice. And if he does not, okay, if he doesn't, you can still be assured God will successfully direct your life. Amen. And even if you make the wrong choice, even if you make the wrong choice and it didn't work, God will still work all things together for good. Woo! Wait a minute, doesn't that sound familiar? Hey, that was last night's Bible study, wasn't it? Sure was. You get it? Even if you make the wrong choice, God will still work all things together for good. Amen. Let's pray.